Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, welcome. This is Rich Paul. It is Wednesday. Hard to believe they're already the 13th day of July 2022. Welcome to tonight's program, today's program. I'm sorry. I am sitting in again, of course, today from Eldest Houston, who takes Wednesday to catch up on other chores. I'm glad she's able to do that. And it's an honor to be here with you, and it's an honor that she trusts me to do her broadcast. It really is. It makes me feel humbled that she allowed me to do this on her program. And trust me, with her livelihood, so to speak. I mean, what an honor that is. But keep in mind her phone number while we're talking at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. You might want to call and talk to her later on today or tomorrow to talk about planning your future. And believe me, folks, after you hear today's news, you might want to really seriously consider these things more than you ever had before. And I mean that. I'm not sure whether our guest today, Wendy Wilson, is going to join us or not. She went online until went on the air right now, so she may join us in. I don't know. Wendy's, of course, is our Wednesday guest. She's always full information, health information, news. But she may not be able to join us today. If not, then we'll do our best to do without her until next week. And I know I can't fill in for it all, but sometimes things happen we don't expect. But let's get into some metals news, and then we'll get back to some other news. Gold was up slightly today, $7.30 to $17.31.90. This is good to see go up, isn't it? Silver is also up 17 cents, $19.13. Platinum come up a little bit, $13.50 to $8.54. The only one was down was palladium. It was down 30. That's odd. $19.89. So three metals up, one metal down. We'll see what happens with that. Dow was also down a little bit today, 193 points to 307.87. NASDAQ was down 19.15 to 11,243. S&P was also down 16.32 to 38.02. So the markets were all down, and the world markets, I did not get time to get them, folks. Sorry about that. Hope to make up for it the next time, but just didn't work out that way today. Oil has went up 0.51 cents, but it's still running at lower than I really imagined it would be, 92.20. That is quite a drop for oil. I mean, that's like 15, 16 bucks drop of the last few weeks. And the price of gasoline's come down, I guess around 25, 30 cents in most places. And, folks, you know, it's hard to believe that we would call $4.50, 60, 70 cents for a gallon of gasoline cheap. I mean, really, it is. I mean, there's no point in kidding yourself. It's not cheap. It's not going to get cheap again, I don't believe. After you hear the news today, you understand why. But to talk about the price of gasoline, oh, I found it for $4.50 a gallon, like that's some kind of deal. Well, I guess it is compared to $5 a gallon, but it's still a ripoff nonetheless. The 10-year yield was down 0.52 to 29.08. The USDX was down 0.03 to 108.04, so a little drop in that. And that's still strong. And that, again, that's, as Melanie says, probably why the metals having such a hard time getting out of the doldrums. But metals will go up again, folks. They will go up again. You can take that to the bank. It will happen. And that's just the way it is. I mean, things are manipulated. They always have been. With the economy the way it's going, and now we have the major banks that are going into recession. A lot of things happening, folks, that just are adding up for a huge hit on us this fall. I'm not trying to scare you. No, I wouldn't. I'm not doing that, folks. That's wrong for me to just sit back and try to tell you things to scare you. I'll never do that. But if I didn't tell you the truth of what's coming and what, not my opinion, but what other people see coming, they're a lot more qualified than me, then I want to do my duty, especially as a pastor and a Christian, but also as your friend. If I would not tell you the truth and you couldn't prepare for it, folks, that would be a great disservice. By the way, we are going to be joined by Wendy after all. Miss Wendy Wilson is here. Wendy, are you there with me?
I'm here, Pastor Butch. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You scared me. I thought you'd gone for the day.
Well, no. I mean, we were trying to connect through Skype, but it's just not working, I guess, today.
Oh, okay.
So, we got a couple of topics. I'll let you pick. You want to talk about tracking what you eat, or do you want to talk about the pig hearts used for transplants?
Tracking what you eat, you said?
Uh-huh.
I want to hear about that.
You want to hear about that? Okay.
I do.
Well, that's a very interesting topic because you may recall one of our previous reports we did with you, the President of the United States has a staff member to make sure that his urine and stool do not fall into the enemy hands. And do you know why that's the way that is?
No. Why?
Yeah, he's got a personal servant that collects his excrement.
Well, most royalty has, they call him the Lord of the Stool. You know that, right?
Right, and the reason is they don't want the enemy to analyze his stool to determine what the true health of the president is, because your byproduct can tell a lot about your health.
No doubt.
So my question, is it possible to get a picture of an individual's health and lifestyle by analyzing blood, urine, and stool? Well, yes, you can. And this is a California study. This University of California in San Diego, they published some findings on how science can determine what you're eating based on what is in your body fluids and your stool. So it appears that, you know, science has started this database of foods that influence body chemistry. So the database will identify food molecules which can profile a person's diet and your future health outcome. So they are calling it the untargeted metabolometrics. So just imagine getting a fine, Pastor Butch, for the future health problem that you're going to have due to a profile it spits out regarding your blood work.
Well, it doesn't surprise me, and I'm laughing, but it really isn't funny. But, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Science thinks they got it down to a science, then they're going to know if you've consumed too much beer and pizza, okay? And this research did get published in the July 7th, 2020 Journal of Nature Biotechnology. And this is what they're claiming. This is a quote from that article. It says, we can match all of the products of metabolism in a specimen to a large database of samples where chemical inventories will exist. So these are molecule signatures they're looking at, similar to maybe your John Hancock signature or your fingerprint. So each individual that consumes a food and processes it within their body creates a chemical signature that's unique to them. So the same foods a human would eat will have different signatures from another human or if an animal ate those same foods. So your gut flora will influence the food chemicals they track. So think of this as the next time, you know, your doctor wants you to go pee in a cup. They're starting this big database about you. Here's another quote from the study. It says, spectrometry reveals a vast array of hundreds to thousands of molecules that are now used to create diet profiles on any individual. That was Peter Dorstein, PhD Director of Mass Spectrometry Innovation Center at the School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Science. So, yeah, this is really profiling people in many different ways. So you remember that old saying, you are what you eat?
Oh, yes.
Well, now they're really putting a new twist on that. And I'm sure that the heart attack burger that you would get at the fast food place is definitely going to be in that database. So if you live at a drive-thru, science is going to know it. And if you haven't noticed, healthcare is moving to a huge monitoring system that's going to affect many facets of life, like job opportunities and employment, your life insurance applications, your health insurance applications, even travel and transportation. So this is just another tracking mechanism, you know, just to, man, track every facet of your life. Just another one.
That makes sense. If you're a diabetic, they analyze your stool, your urine, or whatever, eating sweets, well, or maybe too much carb. Well, we can't cover you any longer on insurance because you're not taking care of yourself.
Right, exactly. And you're being a drag to all of society. You're just going to be a burden.
Yes.
You're going to be a burden. So now a lot of people may be doubting this profile information that it may infringe on their privacy or their freedom. But just take a look at what's happening in China, you know? So the new society systems being put into place, they're being organized, they're going to rate your life and give you a quality rating. So those people with low ratings will be viewed as being a burden to society, and they'll be given an opportunity to clean up their act. And there'll also be, you know, some strict sanctions coming down to influence or, you know, encourage people to change their lifestyles and their ways. So that's what they're doing in China. Like, you know, if you disappoint the system, biometrics, then, you know, you can't get on the tram and you can't shop and you can't eat out and that kind of thing. Here's another quote. This is Peter Dorstein again. He says, "We will use this information to obtain empirical diet information and link it to clinical outcomes. We can link the molecules in a diet to health outcomes, not one at a time, but all at once." So it's become a big database, very sophisticated. And it's kind of like a measuring stick, if you think about it. This process can also measure genetics, chemicals you've been exposed to, and a drug use as well. So just think of it this way. They'll be able to tell what clothes you are wearing based on the chemical profile of the fabrics that influence your skin. So prior to this research, science could only measure 10% of molecule features in specimens. But with this new method, this new technology, it really closes the gap in on what a person is made of. So the system is shared globally, and it can access food that is metabolized in all countries, and it's called the Global Food Biometrics Initiative. And they have also nicknamed the profiling process the Citizen Science American Gut Project.
Wow.
So this new program increases their data output by fivefold. So your life now can be distilled down into blood and stool molecules, whether you are vegan or an omnivore, if you eat exotic food types of foods. Science is going to know if you travel to Italy or any other country and consume the food there.
That is phenomenal.
It is crazy. Peter goes on to say, we will be able to profile foods in terms of diet, but also in exposure to chemicals from clothes that we wear, the medications we take, the beauty products we use, and the environments we live in. End of quote. Boy, talk about distilling your whole entire entity down to a molecule. Right?
Wow.
I thought God only got to do that.
Well, you know, there has to be total control for the beast system to take over, as the Bible prophesied. So why not? Why not?
Right. Well, here's a quote from Bob Knight. He's PhD director at the Center of Microbiome Innovation at the University of California. He says, "This advancement is critical because the traditional methods of measuring diet were food diaries and questionnaires, which were a pain to fill out and hard to assess accurately. You know, people would lie. People would skip stuff. They wouldn't put it down. This way, you know, there's no wiggle room, is there?
No, there's not.
Right. There isn't. So if you say you don't, if you say you don't drink, you say you don't smoke, if you say you don't, you know, do marijuana, it's going to, he's going to label you a big liar if you do those things.
Gee, whiz.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can understand in some areas why they want to ask people these questions and try to help them physically, but that's going to lead to such control. It's unbelievable.
Right. Well, this science is moving into this new microanalysis era of your life, and you know, it's profiling your life. So we see a shrinking of freedom and privacy here. And
oh, yes.
the thought that we could be blocked from purchases, travel, or other activities because a database flagged our life profile, and technology being what it has become, will definitely be linked to our very source that we need to live on, and that is finances. So control of your livelihood, you know, is really being disguised as protecting the wellness of all.
When,
still there,
I mean, what you're, I am, and I'm just sitting there digesting all this.
Right.
Well, that's quite a way to say it. I'm going to be digesting, and they'll be checking on digesting. Anyway, I'm digesting all this information.
Here's the thing that's also worrisome is, you know, nothing is really secure. As you notice, you know, credit cards aren't secure. Online stuff's not secure. So, obviously, this database, you know, somebody could hack into it and, you know, flag something, frame them, let's say, for... let's say a lifestyle offense, right?
Oh yes.
And
yes.
all of a sudden, your ability to do whatever in society is, you know, reduced 50% or something. So I mean, you know, and the last thing you want is for modern medicine to worry about the security. Because I did a show. I don't know if I did it with you, but I did a show where the people involved in helping modern medicine use the technology in healthcare, they're saying the last thing on medicine's mind when they hire them for things is to make sure it's secure. They don't really care about the security of it.
Mm-hmm.
So like pacemakers and insulin pumps and stuff like that could be hacked for sure, they're saying.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, obviously that's true. I mean, look what hasn't been hacked today.
Yeah, well... It's a worrisome thing, but you're right. It's the beast system, and you know the noose is tightening each day, and you can feel it. You really can. So I think people should, you know, start now making modifications, keeping it simple, being aware, being prepared. You know, doing the best you can to be prepared for this.
It is absolutely, I mean, it's just absolutely, I'm sitting there, again, I know this is true, I'm sure it's happening as we speak. I'm just reading a little bit ago where China is going to use a new artificial intelligence to read people's expressions, facial expressions, and to know whether they're being loyal to the system, the state or not.
Right.
Now, this is all going on in the world today, folks. If you don't see this coming up to the final mark of the beast, then obviously you're taking a nap somewhere. I don't know what's going on. You don't see all this coming together. But
right.
We're running out of time. So, go ahead.
Okay, sure. They can give us a call at Apothecary Herbs if they'd like a free product catalog on our herbal products. It's 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit us at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. You know, remember that show Lie to Me, where it was all about micro-expressions and people could tell if you were lying?
I don't remember that, but I'm sure. Okay, go ahead.
They were supposedly a specialty group that law enforcement and other people would hire them in the political areas and stuff just to see if people were lying about certain things. And they had it down to a science as well with micro-expressions. People would just, you know, their body couldn't help themselves. It would come out of them some way, you know.
Wow. Well, lie detector has done the same thing for a long time. Wendy, thanks for being so faithful to you listeners. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a blessed day.
All right. See you next weekend. Bye-bye. Folks, back at the break, a lot to talk about. Don't go away. Gee, what next? Everybody wants to
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, we are back, and again, I'm glad you're with us today, and thanks so much for joining us. I do appreciate it, and this is Pastor Butch. I'm filling in for Melody Cederstrom today, as she's off doing some other chores on Wednesdays. She's a very busy lady. She really is, and I really admire her, and again, it's an honor she would trust me to talk to you folks, because you people are part of her life, not just because of business, but because she gets to know you over the years. I know from personally speaking, on the radio this coming March, might be 30 years on the radio. Other people listen to my broadcast for well over 20 years. Lots of used to have passed away that were part of the family, and I miss them. I know that really sounds silly, but that's just the way it is. You develop a relationship with people that you talk to on the radio, as Melody has with some of you all. So it's an honor to be here today. Now, back to some news. And this is a bit of good news. By putting partisanship aside, North Carolina ranks number one in America's top states for business with the nation's strongest economy. North Carolina, folks, they always have been powerful when it comes to business, though. Always a contender in the CBNC's annual state competitiveness rankings, North Carolina finishes on top for the first time. Political leaders in the Tar Heel State keep managing to put partisanship aside to build the nation's strongest economy. The nation's strongest economy, North Carolina. Other top finishers are Washington, Virginia, Colorado, and Texas. The year's bottom state for business is Mississippi. Poor Mississippi. West Virginia, Mississippi is ranked the first, either the 49th or 50th in poorest, back and forth. We changed back and forth in as poor states and country for years. So Mississippi is on the bottom again for business friendliness, I guess you could say. And so I guess I'll make it probably about the poor state again also. So congratulations, North Carolina. And Mississippi, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say. I mean, West Virginia is not much better off than you are. But, folks, I'll tell you what. It's good to have great business. It's good if you have a decent place to live also in a state that you can trust to do some things are normal. I live in a little state of West Virginia where they call us hicks, hillbillies, and whatever, backwoods, I don't know, clowns. They've probably been called different things, but it makes no difference. Our state, there are no good places left in this country to live, but there are better places. And I think I live in one of the better ones. I really mean that for a lot of reasons. But anyway, back to what we're talking about, different news. The flood begins. Bank of America now forecasts mild recession starting in the second half of 2022. Well, folks, the second half of 2022 has already started. And to say a amen to this article, I stopped today at a fruit market along the road home from a little town we call named Summersville here. I was coming back to town. And the guy was selling some tomatoes and peaches and all, some different things. Tomatoes were $1.50 each. Maybe it doesn't stun you, but stun me. About two tomatoes, $3. Marsha Jean wants some good tomatoes right out of the garden, so I got these, and two for $3. To me, that's shocking. It really is. See, up until today, only two banks had dared to make a U.S. recession their economic model-based case. Deutsche Bank, expecting one in 2023, and Nomura with a late 22 recession forecast. But now that Biden inflation has come in beyond even the whisper numbers, all hope for a soft landing is gone, and over the next few hours, we expect the Penguin Parade of Wall Street's echo chamber to publish note after note of economic forecast revisions making a recession their base case, starting with Bank of America, whose chief economist Michael Capon moments ago published a note titled 2022 through 23 U.S. Outlook. Mild recession supports a return to price stability, in which he writes that economic momentum has faded faster than expected. As a result, a bank now forecasts a mild recession starting in the second quarter of 2022, or second half 2022. So I don't know that it's going to be mild or not, but I know it started. Inflation explodes to 9.1%, the largest 12-month increase since the period ending November 1981. The Bureau of Labor Statistics minutes ago released its June inflation numbers. They are not good. The Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers increased 1.3% in June on a seasonally adjusted basis after rising 1.0% in May. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported today over the last 12 months, the All Items Index increased 9.1% before seasonal adjustment. The increase was broad-based, with the indexes for gasoline, shelter, and food being the largest contributors. The Energy Index rose 7.5% over the month and contributed nearly half of the all items increase, with the gas index rising 11.2%, and the other major component index is also rising. The food index rose 1.8% in June, as did the food at home index. The all items index increased 9.1% for the 12 months ending June, the largest 12 months in the increase since the period ending in November 1991. The all items less food and energy index rose 5.9% over the last 12 months. The energy index rose, folks, listen to this. The energy index rose 41.6% over the last year. 41.6%, which doesn't surprise us, does it? It's the largest 12-month increase since the period of ending of April 1980. So we're seeing things happen here that is unbelievable, and even some certain cities, inflation pain reaches beyond U.S. Sunbelt. There's more cities top 10% in inflation, and the highest one, believe it or not, is urban Alaska, 12.4% pays, up from 7.5 in April. It goes on down through to mention the other cities that are hurting in different prices, raising in different areas. Miami, Atlanta, for example, saw housing costs raise 11.5%. I mean, this is huge. Said Phoenix has been hit with a 62% increase in gas since last year, or earlier this year. Food prices in Baltimore, have went up 12.3% because it's just on and on and on. So this isn't anything that shocks us, I don't think, because we all see it. But are we preparing for it? Are we doing the best we can to get ahead enough to prepare for what's coming? I wish I could say that I'm doing everything I can do right now. At the point I am right now, I've done all I can do. I'm kind of standing still now because there's not a lot of extra funds to do anything with because the inflation is eating them alive. Took my wife Marcia Jean to the doctor 3 hours north of here yesterday, which normally would cost me $25-$30 in gasoline. Cost me $60. Yeah, about double. Well, it makes sense. Gas went from $2.50 to $4.50 or better. So it makes sense to double. So this thing, there's no way I can allow that in my budget. That wasn't part of the plan. My earnings didn't go up enough to make the difference. I'm sure yours didn't either. Now, listen to how rough it's getting. Now, Americans are resorting. Now, listen to this. This is unbelievable. Americans are resorting to microloans to buy gas and groceries. Microloans. With inflation at a 41-year high, gas at record prices, and the cost of food and housing reaching record levels, Americans are looking for alternative methods for staying afloat as resources are dwindling. Federal Reserve economic data said in May that Americans had just 5.4% of their paychecks left after paying basic living expenses, leaving very little for savings. This amount is known as the national personal savings rate. Let me repeat that. After paying basic living. Now, just basic, folks. That's not cleaning, going out to dinner, movies, or anything. No, no, vacations, not none of that. Just basic living expenses. Americans have only 5.4% left to do with it, as maybe the other things they might want to do, including savings. The drop in savings is primarily due to record-setting inflation, which reaches 8.6% in May. Most Americans have to dip into savings to cover increased food, gas, and energy bills. But after more than a year of rising prices, stagnant wages, and shrinking savings account, Americans are looking at alternative methods to pay for basics. According to Bloomberg, Swedish fintech company Klarna Bank has seen a massive application for staples such as food and gas. The finance company provides interest-free, small installment loans that allow people to make purchases when they are short on cash. Klarna makes money by charging retailers a small percentage transaction fee. I noticed that I could not buy essentials with it, and not have to pay everything up front. And it wouldn't affect my pocket as much, said Linda Cruz. The 37-year-old mother of four from Texas told Bloomberg she started using Klarna's interest-free loans for occasional large purchases, such as a new air conditioner, last summer. However, she told outlet that as prices begin to rise for basic needs, she also started using it for groceries. Cruz and Klarna is a valuable budgeting tool, letting her take care of her bills when need arises. Folks, that is so sad. Had to take out a micro loan to buy food for the family. That is not a good thing to think about. And at least in most of our world, that's something that's totally brand new. We never dreamed that would happen, that we'd have to take out a loan to buy groceries. That is absolutely unbelievable. And we'll see what happens with that. I don't know if it's going to be a growing trend in the very near future. But at least one bank is seeing people borrow money to buy groceries and pay off needed bills as quick as possible. And that is kind of fair, I guess, that they charge the retailers a small fee to make money off of that instead of the customer itself. So, anyway, you may have heard this, and then maybe you haven't, but in case you haven't, the trains could stop running in the United States literally 1 week from now. Did you know that an absolutely crippling national railroad strike could potentially start on July 18th? Now, folks, that's only 5 days away. If this actually happens, the historic supply chain crisis that we are experiencing right now will rapidly become far worse. Each year, trains in the United States transport approximately 1.7 billion tons of raw materials and finished goods to their ultimate destinations. If that suddenly stops happening, our economy goes into the toilet. I realize that may sound a bit crude, but that is the reality of what we are potentially facing. So we better hope that national rail carriers and the unions representing workers can come to an agreement before next Monday. Railroad freight traffic across the United States could come to a screeching halt July 18th if progress isn't made on labor contract between national rail carriers and their unions. Union officials stressed they do not want to go on strike, but argued they are being forced to consider the option to bid to get better benefits, wages, and staffing. You know, I've never been anti-union, pro-union either. I've always thought if we could run it where businesses were fair to workers and workers would do the jobs and be good to the employers, that'd be just great. But I can see now where people are desperate for raises. I can see now why they're desperate for raises. I see also why the companies are tightening the budget, trying to keep their prices low enough they can afford to sell the goods. So this is really a catch-22. They don't say, we aren't just talking about a partial paralysis of rail traffic. This would be a nationwide strike, and the entire system would suddenly be frozen. At the moment, the two sides are in a cooling-off period, but that cooling-off period will be over at 12:01 a.m. on July 18th. The two sides were forced into a 30-day cooling-off period after failing to reach an agreement, working through the National Mediation Board. The cooling-off period prevents unions from striking or railroads from locking out their employers while they continue to negotiate. The cooling-off period ends at midnight on July 18th, and a coalition of unions could choose to go on strike at that point, said Sheet Metal Air Rail Transportation Union President Jeremy Ferguson. At this point, it appears that there will be a strike unless Joe Biden uses powers to intervene, and that is precisely what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is asking him to do. Well, if they have to resort to the bomb the trash can, I guess Joe Biden's the answer. But I'm just listening to that, and what it just keeps getting heaped and heaped and heaped on top of the American people. All this keeps coming in and coming in and coming in. And now, folks, I think about anyone's feeling it, seeing it, and knowing there's something more that isn't quite. The last shoe hasn't dropped, I guess you should say. We haven't seen anything yet. I do believe this fall we'll see things. As we go into harvest time, so to speak, we find that the farmers cannot produce as much for whatever reason. Well, the price went up so high that people are going to have a hard time just buying enough to put food on the table. Maybe they have to go to micro loans and borrow money to buy food. My question is, I've always been taught all my life, don't borrow money on something that you consume. Because you can't sell it back, give it back, it can't be repossessed. If you borrow money to buy food, and sometimes you can't pay it back, well, you can't get the food back. That just puts you further in debt, and eventually you lose all, I don't know, because you won't be able to borrow more money. They'll just quit loaning it to you. This is what we're facing. This next article, we'll look at the clock, make sure we have time to cover it because it's so important. I may have to start it and finish after the break, but this is so important. China bank collapse underway. Saudi Arabia distances from the petrodollar to join BRICS monetary order. Saudi Arabia distances from the petrodollar to join BRICS monetary order. Wow. Chaos and collapse are spreading. Sri Lanka now has 2 to 3 days of bread left on store shelves, and both the government and the economy there are in a state of total collapse. All Ceylon Bakery Owners Association on Sunday said their bakery products, including bread, will be emptied from the shelves in the next 2 or 3 days amid severe food shortages in the country. ACBOA President N.K. Jakawardena said that bread may disappear from bakery shelves soon due to prevalent fuel crisis and the shortage and price increase of all ingredients. Meanwhile, bank run is spreading across China as some of the country's major banks announce a freeze on withdrawals, effectively declaring a bail-in scenario where people don't get their money back. A large crowd of angry Chinese bank depositors faced off with police Sunday in the city of Zhengzhou, and many were injured as they were taken away amid the freezing of their deposits by some royal-based banks. The banks froze millions of dollars worth of in April, telling customers they were upgrading their internet systems. The banks have not issued any communication on the matter since, depositors said. According to Chinese media, frozen deposits across the various local banks could be worth up to $1.5 billion, and authorities are investigating the three banks. Now, on top of this, Newsweek is reporting, and the conservative treehouse is covering, the shocking fact that Saudi Arabia is now openly declaring the nation will effectively drop the petrodollar status for the dollar and embrace world currencies, even joining the BRICS nations that include Brazil and that include Russia and China. This change will have a catastrophic empire-ending. One more time. This change will have catastrophic empire-ending ramifications for the U.S. dollar and the collapsing of the U.S. economy. Wow. Folks, we've been saying this for months, years. The dollar is going to lose its status as world currency. And it's going to collapse the economy overnight. Inflation could go up 1,000% in one night if the petrodollar is done away with. And Saudi Arabia intends to drop the dollar as a petrodollar, join the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, become member nation. A dollar would collapse to nothing. Now, folks, this could happen who knows when. This month, next month, end of the year, I don't know. But it's openly being declared right now. This is the future for America. If you're not preparing, folks, I want to tell you, 800-375-4188. Buy some security while you can still afford it. Back at the break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we're back in. This is Pastor Rich Pong, listening to Financial Survival. I'm filling in today for Melody Cederstrom while she does some other chores. And again, with what I'm telling you, folks, I'm not making any of this up. This is all for real happening. This is all something that is going to happen in the future as far as the dollar collapse. It's going to happen. It has to happen. In order to get this whole world into a new system, we'll call it the Great Reset, the New World Order, if you will, or the Mark the Beast system, what the Bible calls it. It's got to happen. The U.S. has to collapse. The strongest economy in the world, my friends, at least it used to be the strongest, has to collapse. They couldn't do it overnight. People would riot. They do a little bit here, a little bit there, and, oh, it's outside our control. And it's just coincidence that, I mean, people actually think that things happen by coincidence. That they have, for some reason, people cannot understand that there's a plan, a conspiracy, if you will, behind all these things to take this whole world into the new world order and to collapse nations for that purpose. Even if the nation's leaders may not realize it, but most of them do. But if they don't, that's what's happening. And the ones who don't want to go along with it, like Gaddafi and some others over the years, and Hussein, end up dead. Yeah, that's a fact. And America being prophesied in the Bible, and Jeremiah is a hammer of the whole earth, the nation that hammers the world into the New World Order system, that's us. Taking out countries in the Middle East and different places to get them under control. That's America today. Our turn for demise has to come, folks. Satan is not loyal to anyone but himself, and his people that work for him aren't either. So here we go. Now, a gentleman that I've followed a little bit over the years, by the name of Gerald Celente, has made some very accurate predictions with his studies and what he does his profession for economic teachings. This article says, trend forecaster Gerald Celente says World War III has begun. The people don't unite for peace, we are finished. This week, Bitcoin.com News spoke with Gerald Celente, the popular trends forecaster and publisher of the Trends Journal. During a telephone conversation, Celente discussed the uncertainty surrounding the global economy after governments worldwide locked down the world's citizens over the COVID-19 pandemic, shut down businesses, and injected trillions into the economy. The discussion touches upon gold, Bitcoin, and the pandemic, the Ukraine-Russian war, and the Federal Reserve. A trends forecaster believes that World War III has already begun, and if people do not assemble to bolster peace in the world, then we the people are doomed. Celente stressed that if people want a real change, they cannot rely on hope as they need to take a stand and make it happen themselves. So Celente has put together a lot of different situations here, a lot of different viewpoints on Bitcoin, the gold and silver, Ukraine, all that. He said the World War III, and I tend to believe that he is right. I just don't know what it could be, but how it's going to come together. But I do believe it is, and I have no doubt that he's going to call it right again, as he has many times in the past. Now, let's move on to something else here. Now, I'm not seeing this like I'm just going through doom and gloom. But what should I do? I can tell you that the only hope is going to lie in Christ. I don't want to preach sermon to you. This is not the type of program this is. But if I were not centered on Christ as my Savior and my rock and foundation and trusted in Him, I don't know what I would do. I prepared myself physically as He asked me to, just like He told Noah and the ark, prepare themselves. Like He told Joseph in Egypt for famine. He told him what to do. And I try to do what I can do to prepare myself. That's all I can do. But what I'm telling you now is true. So, let's move on. Brace for winter lockdowns. Folks, if you thought COVID was over, no. COVID may not be the only justification for more restrictions. Many of those who opposed lockdowns for the pandemic predicted that the policy, if normalized, could one day be taken advantage of by opportunistic political forces to deal with almost any crisis. It was, as Lord Sumption once suggested, a potential pathway to authoritarianism. If we confer despotic powers on government to deal with perils, which are an ordinary feature of human existence, we will end up doing it most or all of the time, he wrote in November 2021. Very good statement. If we give in once, we'll give in again. And folks, the world as a whole gave in. And America was no exception, not one of the leading, one of the worst ones in the world. Well, we are now facing just such a crisis. There is not an insignificant chance, that lockdowns might be revived, not just as a knee-jerk reaction to cope with the prevailing health crisis, but also troubling as an economic one. The monkeypox health care may have failed to get traction, but as COVID cases begin to rise again, the slow beat of pro-lockdown messaging is beginning to circle again in the mainstream media. For now, the public remains far from receptive, but this could change as soon as energy shortages and supply chain issues begin to bite this winter, which they surely will. The public has already been primed to believe that lockdowns were great for generating energy savings. We saw the evidence of that with our own eyes. Traffic jam disappeared. Oil prices went negative, air pollution reversed. In the face of the late Soviet-style chaos on the streets, unconstrained inflation, not enough electricity to heat the homes of the vulnerable, the prospect of order emanating from the temporary suspension of the market economy might seem appealing. So if they hit the economy, folks, maybe they'll be scared back to listen again, go back in the home and sit down and shut up and just not go out anymore. That's what they're saying. It's even easy to predict the message that might feel compelling. Stay home. Don't queer. Save energy. Or bread and energy is cheap if you stay home. But here's why we must not fall for this line of logic. Planned economies are what got us into this mess to begin with. COVID, the war in Ukraine, and sanctions against Russia may have all added accelerants to the fire, but the smolders were burning over ever since the 2008 global financial crisis nearly brought down the system. It's just that the consequences of papering over the flaws in the system rather than properly addressing them only become invisible in 2021. Folks, this is what, lockdowns are inevitable. I do believe that again. I truly do. I do believe that. I'm obviously in school in some place. I think New York City's already started telling students to wear masks to school again. And I still see it around here. Oh, I took Marcia, and I told you, my wife Marcia, for testing it at the Western University Medical Center in Morgantown. We went in without a mask. I will not wear a mask. If I can't go without wearing a mask, I won't go in. But we went in without wearing a mask. While I was in the bathroom, I took Marcia to check in, and she told the lady to check in counter, my wife, I heard her say, my husband will not wear a mask. She said, well, go ahead. If they say anything, it's on them, not me. No one said a word till the way back out, and one of the, I guess you call them, the helpers in there, the security personnel, brought over two masks to us. I said, we're leaving, we don't need one. But no one said a word to us. Folks, until at least the majority of us, not all of us, until a voicing minority says we're not going to comply, we have no chance of turning this around. Until the minority, a loud minority, says we will not wear those damnable face diapers any longer, we will never change this. I will not wear a mask. I haven't, and I won't. Yeah, I've had to not go see doctors because of it. Yeah, I really have. I haven't been to see a VA doctor for ever since the COVID thing broke out. As far as going in the office, I haven't done it. I won't do it. My local doctor doesn't care. Never did say anything to us because I will not wear a mask. It makes me angry for those that do. But nonetheless, let's move on. And insanity goes on in the poor land of Sri Lanka. I mean, the poor island nation is really in one mess. As Sri Lanka's president flees to Paradise Island, embattled PM appoints generals to restore law and order. Wow. And folks, whoever thinks 1-6 of last year, January 6th last year was bad, wait till you see the future of our country in this. But this is America 101. Small America, put it that way. In the early hours on Wednesday morning, just before he was expected to resign amidst mass protests fueled by a crippling economic crisis, and battle president Gotabaya Rapaleski fled the country on a military jet from Colombo, bound for the nearby Maldives. The protesting masses have breached the prime minister's office as well, with the army appearing to stand down days after storming the president's residence and since living there, including swimming in the pool, as now viral videos show, demanding that he must go. President Gotabaya and his wife left aboard an Air Force plane bound for the Maldives, and he made mention to the acting president in his absence. That appeared to only further royal passions in island nation. And now acting president and the prime minister's prior prime minister, Ranel, and folks, I ain't going to say these words, is struggling to restore order on the island nation of 22 million people. At first declaring a state of emergency and curfew on Wednesday, but then later canceling the orders under pressure as the protests set their sights on him. The prime minister has already appointed a committee of top military generals and given them the charge to restore law and order, according to CNN. The report further said the committee will be tasked with issuing commands to troops on the ground and police across the country to try to maintain order throughout the country, said the source, who requested an anonymity to discuss developments not yet publicly announced by the acting president. But already, as AP observed, thousands of protesters who had anticipated that Prime Minister Ranel would be appointed acting president, rallied outside his office compound, and some scaled the walls. The crowd roared in support and tossed water bottles to those charging in. Later, it became clear protesters had breached the PM's office as dozens were seen on the rooftop, shouting for the removal of both the president and prime minister while waving the national flag. One protester, among many others who spoke to the AP, summarized this type of general despair, fueling the anger in the streets amid the economic collapse and widespread allegations of rampant government corruption and mismanagement among insiders ruling the country for their personal enrichment. The protester's words suggested that demonstrating masses could set their sights on Parliament next. Not only Gotabaya and Ranel, all 225 members of Parliament, should go home because for the last few decades, family politics have ruined our country, said Perea, a laborer who came to Colombo from the outskirts today to protest to occupy the first government buildings. He lost his job and his father, a driver, who can't do his because of fuel shortages. I'm 29 years old. I should be having the best time of life. Instead, I don't have a job, no money, and no life, he said. People are starting to get very upset, and not just there, folks, but other places too. Wow, this is in the Netherlands. President Joe Biden has already crippled the fossil fuel industry in the United States, and it's only a matter of time before his administration imposes similar policies that are being used in Europe. Thousands of Dutch farmers are rebelling and blocking roads in the Netherlands to protest the government's plan to limit carbon and nitrogen emissions from their farms. Farmers are using their tractors to block roads and important commercial shipping routes to protest their government's net zero climate policies. At Saturday's convoy that blockaded the roads in front of the Germany border, an individual told me that they were willing to go to war over the climate policies enacted on the farmers by the government. The lady said, "We don't want war." But if we have to, we go. Well, I don't know what else to say to you. This is now a real scenario. This is happening. The world being primed for the world leader, they're going to call the Antichrist, who will come in briefly and make craft to prosper. That's in your Bible, folks. Read it in Daniel chapter 8. He'll make businesses to prosper for a short period of time. He'll look like the savior of the world for economics, peacekeeping, and all the other things that's been discussed about him in the future. He is the one that they will bring in that will charm the people into following him. And the nations will more or less cast their crowns at his feet and say, here we are. You lead the way. The calling of the people that will not go along with this, that's the truly born-again believers, will be first. We'll be taken out first, folks. They will not be able to tolerate anybody who named the name of Christ and won't bow the knee to this New World Order dictator. But we're seeing the nations, as Matthew 24 prophesied, in an uproar, wars and rumors of wars and unrest among the people. We're seeing that happening. I don't mean to be preaching to you or at you, but I'm telling you, these things are happening. This is prophesied. If you're not a believer in the Bible, folks, you might want to consider this. Don't take my word for it. Look at it for yourself. We're seeing these things happening because it is prophesied to happen. It is going to happen. It is happening. So why are we surprised that it's happening? I don't understand how we can be so blinded. But all I can say is right now, folks, while we're on this earth, we have to do our best to prepare for what's coming, because it is coming. It is here. I'll be back with you on Friday. Melody and Dave will be here tomorrow. Y'all have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.